Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, you have a cordial invitation to stick around and listen to 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, but never any manipulation. We don't con people. We're not trying to hustle your money. We're not asking you to join anything. Simply want you to listen. Listen so I can verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if I can do that, you have the freedom, the privilege to orient and adjust to the plan should you decide to do so. But this show, The Flatline, is always designed to remind you of biblical truths and introduce you to a different way of studying and learning God's Word. Remember what I tell you every Sunday morning, that God gave you two ends. One of those ends you sit on, and one of those ends you think with. And success in your life will depend on which one you use. Heads, you'll win. Tails, you'll lose. Today, we want to talk about being spiritually brain dead. Spiritually brain dead. Now, we've all been around people that are kind of brain dead just from the physical standpoint. They don't know much. And you can tell they don't know much by what they have to say. Whatever a person can is in his soul comes out in his language. So if he just has a coarse, rough language with not many words, you can tell he doesn't know a whole lot. But Solomon wrote the Proverbs that we have been looking at in the last week or two. We studied wisdom last week. To inspire those people that are spiritually brain dead. Spiritually brain dead, people that don't know much about the plan of God. This is the way that I was after I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was spiritually brain dead. I never had heard of a word like regeneration or imputation or sanctification or any word like that. I didn't understand anything about the second advent of Christ. I didn't understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand any of the nomenclature related to the spiritual life. So I had to learn how God's plan operates. And it didn't come overnight. I had to take time to study and learn under my pastor how the Word of God works and what God expects out of me and what I was supposed to do. And so when Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, his apparent objective was to stress the importance of having the wisdom of God. And he made it available for you and for me through his written words, and we call it the Scripture. So listen as I read to you from Proverbs 1:1-7. Proverbs 1:1-7, referring to the wisdom of God. It says, quote, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. I write these for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." All right, I want to take a look at verse 4 particularly. One of the reasons that he wrote this Proverbs is for gaining prudence, for giving prudence to those who are simple, for giving prudence to those who are simple. The word prudence in the Hebrew word, remember that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, and the New Testament primarily in the Koine Greek. And so as you begin to break these words down and study what we call the ICE technique, I-C-E, ICE, you know, like you want a Coca-Cola or a soda with ice. ICE, I'm going to give you some big words here, but they're important to understand them. ICE is the word isagogics or isagogical. And C stands for categories, and E stands for exegesis. So when we study the Scripture, we exegete the Scripture line by line, word by word. We develop categories, and the isagogics is the word itself, how it was used, where it came from, what's its meaning. And so the eisagogics of the word prudence is what I want to look at. Prudence is the Hebrew word ormah, and it means to give discretion or wisdom or subtlety, which is basically the state of being very subtle or having shrewdness or mental acumen. I never had heard that word before when I got saved, mental acumen. I didn't know what acumen was. But being subtle is the act of conveying something in a skillful, clever way versus a direct manner. And it's truly an art form, one that's not easily mastered, I promise you. So being subtle is a tactic that allows you and me to maneuver in the devil's world without drawing a lot of attention to ourselves. That's not what we're supposed to do. So let me give you some principles about being subtle, because this is one of the characteristics of wisdom. An overbearing person, point one, is an obnoxious person. And that's a person that doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. And I think we've done a study on this show before called 10 Times to Keep Your Mouth Shut. And if you've never heard that, if you'll write to me, we'll send it to you. 10 times, and don't send money, we're not asking for money. But 10 times you have to keep your mouth shut. And there's a lot of reasons to keep your mouth shut. One of them is judging your neighbors and sticking your nose in other people's business. But an overbearing person is an obnoxious person. They can't keep their mouth shut. They're always trying to straighten everybody else out, trying to run the show. It's the alpha male, you know, the big dog, the goat, and the crowd, the greatest of all times, et cetera, et cetera. Two, a second principle about being subtle. This is an art form of thinking and communicating clearly without being obnoxious, without being overbearing, without being persistent. And three, this is wisdom of knowing when to speak and knowing what to say. Some people just going to pipe up and get in the middle of the conversation. They really have nothing to offer. But they just try to act like they know what they're talking about, and they don't. And you've seen that before. I've seen it before. You could be having an intellectual discussion with someone about a subject, and the person that doesn't know anything about the subject wants to get in the middle of it and throw in some words, and they don't. I mean, they just, it's stupid. They don't know what they're even talking about, so they shouldn't be in the middle of the conversation. I've been in that position. When I first became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I heard people talking about things that I didn't understand, and I wanted to be in the conversation, so I put my 2 cents worth in, and people looked at me like, where did that come from? You must be out of your mind. But I was trying to be noticed. I was trying to be recognized, and that's part of being obnoxious, wanting to be recognized. So this is the wisdom of knowing when to speak and what to say. Subtle, and that's prudence. Prudence is having accurate content. Content in all your directions or all your conversations. If you don't have accurate content, then everything you're doing is just wasted breath. That's all. So five, when you speak, you must have clear thinking and you must have accurate content. So where do we get the content? That's the question. Where do we get accurate content? That's the wisdom that Solomon is offering us in this book. Paul in Philippians 1:9 said it this way, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more in real knowledge and discernment." Acumen, discernment, acumen, knowledge. And anytime you say you love God, and people do say that, "I love God," are you telling the truth? Because 1 John 5:3 says, "If you love me, you'll obey me, and my mandates are not hard." Well, what's one of the first mandates? Grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Peter wrote. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You love God, and you're not growing spiritually. You say you love God, and you're not obeying these mandates. You don't love God. You're emotionally attached to God. But to have sincere love for God is appreciation and respect and reverence for his character. Can you even tell me what is the essence of God, like sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, immutability, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence? Do you know what these things even mean? I did not. I had to learn them. I had to have some wisdom. That's part of being in the ministry. You got to know what you're talking about, or else you need to keep your mouth shut. And so Paul says, I want your love, your appreciation, your commitment to your Lord to grow in more knowledge and more discernment. Now keep in mind that knowledge can be translated two ways in the New Testament. It can be translated in the Greek word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, and it can be translated in the Greek word epignosis. The difference in these two are the difference between hearing and keeping. When you hear the Word of God and understand it, you have gnosis. But when you apply it into your life, it becomes epignosis, or full knowledge. Epi is a preposition meaning full knowledge. And that's the objective of the Christian life. You go to church, you hear your pastor teach the Bible, and you want to apply it into your life. That's why Jesus said, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's Word and keep it. And nobody's perfect, but you can't keep what you don't know, and you can't know unless you go and learn and listen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not listening and learning, you're not going to be growing. So when you speak, you have to have accurate content. And here, in this verse in Philippians 1:9, we see the Apostle Paul stressing the very same thing Solomon did almost 1,000 years earlier. So you just really have to ask yourself why the Bible keeps repeating the need for the believer to have discernment and understanding, which is derived from wisdom in the soul. Why is this such a big issue? Why is it over and over and over again stressed? And the answer is simple. The spiritual life is lived in the soul. And you have a soul. I have a soul. We have mentality. We have volition, we have a conscience, and we have a self-consciousness. This is where we live our spiritual life. We live the spiritual life in the soul. We express what we believe in our body, in the action of our body, and how we conduct ourselves. The soul's mentality, the soul has volition. Thus, Satan wants us to take advantage of us. Satan's advantage in this world is to distort your thinking. That's how he gets an advantage. Since you have mentality and volition, he wants to distort your thinking into terms called human viewpoint or humanism. This is the exact opposite of divine viewpoint, which is God's plan for you and I to execute a successful spiritual life. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Satan is known to have his own ministers in pulpits across our country today who preach human viewpoint. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants, that's his ministers, also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, servants of God, whose end shall be according to their deeds. So here we know for a fact that there are men and women in pulpits across America today that claim to be servants of God, and they're not. You know, Satan is known as the greatest deceiver in all of history. To be this good of deceiver, he must be the greatest and best liar in history, and Jesus said he was in John 8:44, the father of all lies. And the greatest lie you could ever hear is this humanism or human viewpoint thinking. It's not the wisdom of God. And so those people who stand in the pulpits and teach for Satan are giving what's called doctrine of demons, 2 Timothy 4:1. Some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrine of demons. That's human viewpoint. That's humanism, progressivism, socialism. This is not taught in the Bible. This is not part of the Word of God. So hopefully you can see that if the enemy can control what you think and what you believe, then he can control what you do. That's the objective of the enemy. So we're exhorted over and over and over again throughout the New Testament to learn God's plan so we can execute and fulfill his desire for us so that we might, in fact, glorify him, not ourselves. Ephesians 3:20 says, all glory belongs to God, whose power is at work in us. Now, that power is dual power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, which is problem-solving device number 2, the filling of the Holy Spirit, by means of problem-solving device number one, confession of known sin to God. And it's also the power of the Word of God inside of you. And that's problem-solving device three, the faith rest drill, and problem-solving device five, biblical orientation. So when you have the Word of God in your soul and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then God's power is working in you. Thus, we have a demand from the New Testament that we become spiritually mature believers. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow. This is not a request. This is an order from Peter. This is a commandment. Grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mandated. If you're not growing, you're sinning. A Christian who doesn't progress in the Christian life is going to go backwards. The rate of forgetting will exceed the rate of learning, and if it's that way in your life, you are not growing. You must grow on a daily basis. You must be under the ministry of a good, qualified pastor who can teach you God's Word so that you can learn it and apply it into your life. And more than Sunday morning, don't fall for the nod to God crowd. And that's all you're going to be. That's all you do, just go in on Sunday and show up. Hello, God. Goodbye, God. See you next week, God. That's the nod to God crowd. And you wind up being a caricature of Christ, not the image of Christ. You got to learn to think like He thinks. And that's why the Bible says it. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Well, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 12, that the Bible is the mind of Christ. It is the mind of Christ. The New Testament is the mind of Christ. And we have it. And we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the importance of learning the wisdom of God is the educating of the simple or the spiritually brain-dead individual. How did that passage go when we started it a while ago? Let me back up in my notes and I'll read it to you one more time. For giving prudence to those who are simple. For giving prudence to those who are simple. The simple people are the spiritually brain-dead people. And these are called, in the next part of that passage, the youth who need knowledge and discretion. Normally, youth are spiritually brain-dead. They have their mind on everything else except the plan of God. I never thought about the plan of God when I was growing up, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home either. Never went to church. Never was told to go to church. And maybe you're different. Maybe you started learning the plan of God when you were a young person. That's fantastic if that's true. My prayer is that you are not spiritually brain dead. So, principle. If you can destroy the thinking of the youth, then you can destroy the client nation. If you can destroy the thinking of the youth, then you can destroy the client nation. Keep in mind, the United States of America has been a client nation to God for many years. And if there's one objective the enemy has, it's to destroy this nation so that we do not send out missionaries to all corners of the world, so that we do not proclaim the gospel all across the world, so that we are not a haven for the Jews, so that we don't operate under the divine institutions of marriage, family, freedom, nationalism. These are all important things to understand. So if you can destroy the thinking of the youth and capture their mindset, then you can destroy the future of any client nation. So point two, Satan's attack on the client nation of USA. You hear it chanted, USA, USA. Satan's attack on client nation USA is to capture the thoughts and the imagination of the youth who are ultimately the future decision makers of this country. All right? And three, he does this through the abundance of social media, which is an appeal to the emotions and not a challenge to the intellect. Social media is an appeal to the emotions and not a challenge to the intellect. And if there's anything that's rampant on social media, it's humanism. Humanism, human viewpoint. Four, emotions are a responder, not an initiator. Emotions give us the ability to have appreciation, but not any discernment. That requires thinking. And humanism promotes no thinking. Humanism promotes emotionalism. Humanism promotes the now and the what's happening right now, not any discernment or wisdom or insight or understanding. So 5, accurate thought requires accurate information in the beginning. And that starts at home. And it starts with authority orientation at home. This is where the failure in America is today. There's very little authority orientation at home. Too many broken families. Satan has been successful through divorce of breaking up many families, many families. And if it happens, then the parents break up, and then the kid winds up living like I did with a mother who had to work, and so she farmed me out to different guardians throughout the week, and I would live with different people and come home on the weekends, Friday night and Saturday night, I'd come home. Didn't really know my mom that much because I was living with other people who did not teach me anything about God, nothing about the Word of God. So, accurate thought requires accurate information, beginning at the youth. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 tells youth this right here. Obey and honor your parents. Obey and honor your parents. This is authority orientation. The first thing a parent has to do is teach the child, when I say no, I mean no. And obey is the Greek word hupotasso. Hupotasso means to be under the authority of. And the word honor is the Greek word tamao. Tamao, and it means to respect. So the job of the young person at home is to obey the orders of the parents and to respect and honor their parents. Now, that doesn't mean if your mom tells you to go to the grocery store and steal a loaf of bread, you're supposed to do that. You're not obligated to commit a crime if your parents encourage you to do that. But you are obligated to be under their authority, and sometimes that authority is not always fair. And so then the question arises, are you going to react to unfair treatment, or will you respond to unfair treatment? That's always the question in life. Even when you get a job, will you react or will you respond? Will you get mad and angry and let your emotions take over and blow it off and open your mouth and say something you shouldn't say? Or will you respond with forgiveness and love? See, that's the secret to the Christian life, being able to respond to adversity, not react to adversity. That's why Proverbs 3, 1 through 2 says, my son, and this is David speaking to Solomon, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart obey my instructions. He made sure that Solomon had a good background in the Word of God. So, point 6, failure to teach authority orientation at home results in a soul out of control and making decisions on arrogant, self-centered emotions. Self-centered emotions. Remember, arrogance is identified by self-justification, self-absorption, self-deception, and self-destruction. So if you justify why you're right and your parents are wrong, if you're totally deceived, if you lie to them, you lie to yourself, and you get totally absorbed with what you're doing, you'd wind up destroying yourself. We all are about one or two decisions away from destroying our lives, aren't we? And there are a lot of kids walking around today that are one or two decisions away from destroying their life because they've had no parental instruction, no wisdom given to them so they would have discernment and understanding. They're easily manipulated by the enemy, a.k.a. the devil, and used by him to destroy a client nation. The next word in that passage we wanted to look at was the word simple. Give prudence to the simple. The Hebrew word for simple is pethe. Pethe. And that means those who have no divine standards that result in foolish decisions are simply relying on their emotions, not any content, when making some sort of decision in life. They are naive. They are silly. They are seductible. They are easily persuaded and easily enticed. The principle, with no divine operating standards A young person is easily persuaded to step into sin. He's very credulous, one who has a readiness to believe the lie. 2, the simple-minded person has no biblical frame of reference. 3, with no basis to determine right from wrong, the subject of person is easily persuaded to step into an arena he should not go into. He should not enter. And so, 4, early exposure to sinful, flawed behavior leads to scar tissue or hardening of the heart. And this is seen in Ephesians 4, where Paul said, being darkened in their understanding, they are excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Since they developed a hardness in their heart, they become callous and betrayed themselves into sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. Paul said, you didn't learn this from Christ. Proverbs 1:4 continues, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. The simple are the youth. They need knowledge and they need discretion. Youth is na'ar in the Hebrew. Na'ar, a boy, a youth, a lad, a servant, a damsel, usually under the age of 20. And they need knowledge, da'ath, the Hebrew word da'ath, which means perceptive ability built on wisdom and understanding. Without perceptive ability, the young person cannot tell when they're being manipulated. And the tragedy of American youth today is many have no ability to recognize the lie of socialism or the lure of humanism. One of the reasons for this flaw is the parents did not teach and did not demonstrate the wisdom of God to them at a very early age.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, I'd like to ask you to hang around, listen up, pay attention, because this show is giving you some wonderful, wonderful information without any type of manipulation. We're not trying to con anybody. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not going to ask you to join anything. We're not going to ask you to give up anything. We're just here to remind you of some biblical truths and introduce you to a new way of learning, studying God's Word. No manipulation, like I said, no solicitations, just 30 minutes of education, motivation, inspiration. Letting me identify God's plan for you, and hopefully you will be able to orient and adjust to the plan. I don't know where you are this morning, what city that you're in. We play this show in multiple cities across the United States every Sunday morning, same time on your station. But I'm very grateful that you're listening, and I appreciate it so very much. It's always a chore, a task, a challenge to get this information out and to get it right and to pray and see what God would have me to present to you. It's not an easy thing to do. Every Sunday, 14 years, we've been doing this now, and there's a lot of distractions. But my job is to get it to you accurate and get it right. Your job is to hear it, apply it, and learn it. Remember what I tell you every Sunday? God gave you two ends. One of them you sit with, one of them you think with, and heads you win, tails you lose. Remember that? So we want to learn what God has for us, what God's plan has for us. We're not talking about ritual without reality. We're not talking about the nod to God crowd. We're not talking about the organized religion that people play sometimes in their local churches. We're talking about the real deal, Lucille, the real Christian life, the really real, true way to live the Christ-centered life. And that's what the Flatline is all about, giving you information. FLOT stands for the Forward Line of Troops. It's always been that, FLOT. And it means that there are some wonderful problem-solving devices found in the Bible. And when you learn them and when you use them, they protect you just like a main line of resistance in the military would keep the enemy out of the fort. Well, these 10 problem-solving devices are not new. They're not anything great breakthroughs. We're not trying to sell you a book about them. But they deal with rebound, number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit, number two, the faith rest drill, number three, grace orientation, four, biblical orientation, five, having a personal sense of destiny, 6, personal love for God, 7, impersonal love for all of mankind, 8, sharing the happiness of God, 9, occupation with Christ, number 10. When you learn these, when you use them, when you stand on them, then you have a lifestyle of wisdom, a lifestyle of wisdom. That's what they are. They are the wisdom of God put into a military metaphor so you can understand how the Christian life functions and operates. That's what we do. We are trying to present biblical truth that can be used as problem-solving devices every day in your life. And they are called God's wisdom of the ages. They allow you to function within this devil's world with impunity if you learn them and you use them. And by the way, you can hear us not just on this radio station, but you can also hear us on our newly created podcast. If you have a phone, you can go to Spotify, the website Spotify, download it free, and type in The Flotline. They're all there. They're all free. And I hope you'll take advantage of that, because my job is to get you some information and gear you in the right direction. I'm not your pastor. I'm just like a window, a breath of fresh air, trying to direct you to a great pastor where you can grow spiritually and learn to be the person God intended you to be. But my challenges are for this, for you to acquire the wisdom of the ages. There's only one reason you would want to do that. Hopefully, the reason you're listening to my radio show today is you love God. If you love God and you have reverential respect for God, then you're going to fulfill God's plan for your life. Listen to 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep His mandates, and His mandates are not a burden. This demonstrates you love Him. It's called obedience. Obedience. In Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that word fear doesn't mean that you're afraid of Him. It means reverential obedience. So if you're going to grow as a Christian, if we're going to survive in the devil's world, if we're going to glorify Jesus Christ to the max, we must learn God's plan. You can't operate on a shoestring. It's not your way, highway. It's God's way, highway. Thy way, highway. Not my way, highway. Thy way, highway. And that means you have to learn something. And so in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is where it starts. Obedience, reverential obedience, is the beginning of knowledge. Nothing comes without knowledge. You must have knowledge to understand what God's plan for your life is. But the problem is, the Bible says in the second half of Proverbs 1:7, that a fool doesn't want any knowledge. It says fools despise wisdom and despise instruction. That's the arrogance of a fool. You can't teach a fool anything. He's so arrogant, he thinks he knows it already. You may know a few people like that. And you may have some children like that that think they know it already. They don't need your advice. And that's a sad state of affairs, I know. But only a fool would claim they did not need instructions on how to live in the devil's world. Yep, that's right, the devil's world. We live in the devil's world. John 12:31-33, just to remind you, now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. This is Jesus Christ speaking about future time. And he says, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. That's the cross, that's speaking of him, manner of death, he would die. And he called Satan the ruler of this world. John 16:11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged already. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry, judging of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Matthew 4:8, Satan tried to tempt the Lord to worship him and said, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world, and I'll give you all of their glory if you will worship me. It's his. We live in the devil's domain. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And so reverence for God, reverential obedience for God, and obedience to His plan is the foundation for a life of happiness and fulfillment. No obedience, no happiness, no fulfillment. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ Himself said, happiness belongs to those who hear My Father's word and keep it. So, if there's no respect for God's word, there's no reverence for God, then it's a guarantee that you're going to have a life unfulfilled and full of frustration. There are many Americans that I'm talking to now that care nothing about the Bible. They care nothing about God. They think they've got it made. They think they got a better deal. They think they got a better way. And they are going to continue to butt their head against the wall until they bleed to death because they can't move the wall with their head. Only God's word can give you the path. Only God's word can show you the way around that wall. So when you have a lack of respect and a lack of reverence for God's word, you can book it. You are going to have an unfulfilled life full of frustration. If you have no reverential respect, the Bible says you're a fool. In Proverbs 10:27, the respect for the Lord, or his plan, prolongs your life. But the years of the wicked will be shortened. Did you hear that? The respect for the Lord, his plan, prolongs your life. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And then it goes on to state, fools die for a lack of understanding. Proverbs 10:21. There you go. There's a death certificate for the dumbo fool that ignores God's word. Won't pay attention to it. Not interested in it. Doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. He's living in the devil's world, trapped in the cosmic system, thinking satanic concepts of evil. And he's a fool. And the Bible makes that very, very clear. Very clear. So the wisdom of God gives you understanding. Understanding. Wisdom doesn't come overnight. Wisdom must be learned and acquired. And that's when you have a desire for knowledge. If you have a desire for knowledge, it's like a desire for cake or a desire for ice cream or a desire for a cookie. You want it, you like it, you want another one. When you have a desire to learn God's word, you get wisdom. Over a period of time, learning gives you wisdom. And what wisdom does, once it gets into the bank of your soul, it gives you understanding and discernment. Why you're here, what's your task to do while you're here, why did God send you here, what does God want you to do? This kind of wisdom is your most valuable asset. Proverbs 3:15 says that according to wisdom, talking in the feminine style here, she, that's wisdom, is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with her. Why? Because she will extend your life. You can't buy more time with jewels. You can't buy more time with pearls, but you can buy more time with God's wisdom. How? Well, you won't self-destruct. You won't destroy yourself by being a fool and ignoring the plan of God. Your job and my job is to receive the instructions of wisdom that lead us to justice in our life, righteousness in our life, and equity. Proverbs 1:3, the writer Solomon said, I write this so you can receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Now, what's this righteousness stuff? Well, remember, God is absolutely righteous. There are none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. I don't want to tell you over the radio what the Hebrew word for filthy rag is. You don't want to hear it. It would be embarrassing to you. God put it in the Bible. Maybe I should. I don't know. You can look it up for yourself. But here's the deal. Your righteousness, your good deeds, your church attendance, your money you give, the sweet, nice things you do won't get you to heaven. That's just all human good. It's human righteousness, and it's a filthy rag in God's eyes. There are none that are righteous. Not even one. Now, how do we get righteousness if we can't manufacture righteousness? If we can't live up to the righteous standards of God, how do we get it? Well, the Bible says simply, he who knew no sin was made sin for us so we could be made the righteousness of God through him. You are made righteous through Christ so that when God looks at you in Christ, he sees righteousness. The righteousness of Christ imputed to you. Just like when he looked at Christ on the cross, he saw sin, my sin, your sin imputed to him. So God is absolutely righteous, and you can be absolutely righteous too through Jesus Christ. That's your position, not your experience. Your experience in time, you will be unrighteous every day. You will sin daily. But in your position in Christ, you are absolutely righteous. So God's absolute righteousness is one of the things you must understand with wisdom. You can't buy righteousness. You can't manufacture righteousness. You only receive it through Jesus Christ. So he wrote these proverbs so we can receive instruction in wise behavior such as righteousness, justice, and equity. God's absolute justice. Here's something my pastor used to say years ago. Either you adjust to the justice of God, or the justice of God will adjust to you. That's up to you. I mean, either you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, which is what God provided for you, or you will force God at the great white throne of judgment to cast you into the lake of fire, which is not his plan. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance to change their mind. So he's absolutely righteous, he's absolutely just, and he's equity. It means fair. And this means that we are to avoid judging, avoid slandering, avoid maligning, avoid criticizing. Give other believers their privacy. That's key to it. So, Proverbs 1:3, this wisdom gives you instruction in wise behavior, which is righteousness, justice, and equity. And an invaluable tool for you and for me is to understand this. This understanding the Bible offers from that comes out of wisdom includes discernment. Once we get wisdom, then we have the understanding, and then the discernment or the special ability to see what lies ahead, what's dangerous. Now, let's go back. How do you get wisdom? How do you get wisdom? By learning. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Scripture. Learn, study, grow. You don't get wisdom singing praise and worship songs. You get wisdom by listening to the instruction of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word, the Bible says. Now, you think you're going to get it when you take your Bible and you go sit out under a tree and you read it. And that's fine. The Holy Spirit can speak to you. But he gave the gift of pastor-teacher. This book you call the Bible, I call the Bible, the Holy Scriptures of God, is a textbook. And it's designed to be taught to us. It was written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, designed for you to understand what's here. No mistakes, no compromises. And that's why it's critical that you don't try to do it on your own, but you get under the ministry of a great pastor who understands the languages and can teach it to you. So then you can apply it into your life. So understanding includes discernment or the ability to see what lies ahead. Listen to Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear, a wise man will increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So, if you have some wisdom, you have some understanding. If you have some understanding, you have some discernment. If you have some discernment, you go to people that are smarter than you, people that have been around longer than you, and say, what do you think I should do? Give me your opinion about this subject. That doesn't mean that God calls out people to counsel you. You got to live your own spiritual life. But there's nothing wrong with seeing a more mature person, a person that is grown further along, especially a wife. If you're a wife and you're getting married, newly married wife, the Bible says it's okay for the older women to teach your younger women what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it. You seek counsel. You seek wisdom. That's what I have to do in my life and my ministry as I began, and still even to this day. I mean, I call friends and pastors and ask them, what about this? What about that? How does that apply to my life? What does that mean? That's what we do. We seek understanding. Okay? Wise counsel. So, a person with reverence for God's word and a person who possesses understanding of God's word is a very blessed individual. And he has a life of pleasantness and a life of peace. not a life of conflict. Proverbs 3:17. The ways of wisdom are pleasant ways, and the path of wisdom is peace. There it is. Now, God's offering you a life of pleasant circumstances and a life of peace, not conflict, if you seek wisdom, His Word, understanding, discernment, insight. Guidance through the maze of this life is the very promise of God's wisdom. He will guide you through the maze of this life in the devil's world. In Proverbs 3:6, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You're talking about your own personal tour guide through life. By means of God the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, there is your tour guide in life. That's why wisdom is important. That's why understanding and insight are so important. Because we live in a battlefield. We are on a battlefield. Spiritual warfare daily, whether you realize it or not, it's going on every day, and it's towards you. It's an attack towards you to discourage you, to defeat you, to discredit you. Because if the enemy can do that, then he can malign the name of God. Look at that person. That person said they're a Christian. Look at the way they're acting. Look at those losers. That's what Satan does. He goes before the throne and maligns you before God. And then our Lord Jesus Christ steps up and says, wait a minute, Father, he's mine. I'll deal with him. Listen to this battle. Ephesians 6:11 through 17. Maybe this will help you understand why things are so rough sometimes. Put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand firm against the strategy of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness, even in heavenly places. Because of this, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm because of this, having girded up your loins with truth. There's wisdom. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. There's the plus R, God's righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's sharing the good news of Christ. And in addition to all of this, taking up the shield of faith. That's the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Those are the attacks that Satan will force on you. And verse 6:17 Ephesians, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation is your security in Christ. One of the things the devil's good at doing is telling people they're not really saved. You're not really saved. You're going to lose your salvation. Listen, the security is in Christ Jesus. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. And the Word of God, the Bible says, pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible is your weapon, and you can't use it if you don't have wisdom. And you won't have wisdom if you don't have hunger, if you don't have knowledge. And you won't have knowledge until you're pleasant to receive it. Until you're ready to learn on a daily basis, until you're ready to grow spiritually, until you see that as priority number one in your life, you're never going to be able to fulfill God's total plan for you. Yes, you're a believer. Yes, you're going to heaven. Yes, you'll have some sort of impact, but not what you could have had if you did what you should have done. Make the Word of God priority number one. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Get under the ministry of a qualified pastor. Take in God's Word every day. Represent Jesus Christ in your community and represent Jesus Christ through your life. That's what it's all about. So, we are in a war, a spiritual war. The Bible goes on to say in Romans 8:35-37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall disaster, or anguish, or persecutions, or economic depression, or privation, or danger from warfare, all these things, and in all of these things, we win the supreme victory through Christ who loves us. There's your guaranteed protector. There's your guaranteed way out. Remember, your own personal tour guide? There it is. The wisdom of God is called spiritual solutions. And the attainment of this wisdom is called spiritual growth. So if you take the spiritual solutions of the Word of God and learn them, spiritual growth, this gives you spiritual skills to live the spiritual life. You hear that? And there's a lot of spirituals there. Let me say it again. The wisdom of God is called spiritual solutions. And the attainment of these solutions or wisdom is called spiritual growth. When you have spiritual growth, you develop spiritual skills that give you the ability to live the spiritual life. And what are those skills? Well, self-esteem, spiritual self-esteem, one, spiritual autonomy, two, and eventually spiritual maturity. Spiritual self-esteem, spiritual autonomy, and eventually spiritual maturity. These include you identifying your spiritual gift and you utilizing the resources that God gave you, the spiritual resources. What are your resources? Well, listen to 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. I'm talking about your spiritual resources now. But divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, the truth, the wisdom of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The mind is where the battlefield is. The war is for your thoughts. The war is for your thinking. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So in this passage that we just looked at, wisdom is the teacher. In this passage, wisdom is an anthropomorphic metaphor. In other words, it's describing wisdom as a human teacher, human abilities, or a father. So what is wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity? Well, let's get some principles down. I want to get all these principles as quick as I can because this is the main core of this message, and I'm already running out of time. Wisdom's a teacher. That's the first principle. Secondly, what is wise behavior? It's righteousness, justice, and equity. Thirdly, God's wisdom will give years to your life if you learn it and use it. Proverbs 3:2, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. There it is. And fifthly, God's wisdom will allow you to live at peace with Him and with others. Peace with God is an amazing thing. And sixth, divine mandate for wisdom is trust. It's found in Proverbs 3:5-6. Here it is. It's the mandate. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, look to Him, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. There you go. So what's the value of God's wisdom? How blessed is a man who finds wisdom, Proverbs 3:13. Wow. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. Wisdom is more precious than all the jewels in the world, and nothing you desire compares with her. Why? Because you have insight and discernment and understanding. Wisdom is not inherited. It must be sought after, and it must be learned. I hope you've been challenged. I hope you're listening and understand the importance of the Word of God in your life, the importance of learning these problem-solving devices. They are the wisdom of God. Until next week, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you today for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted demurals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them when other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland.